He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
July 2017, He Said, She Said, here in the Okanagan. It is beautiful. This is the place to be. If you don't mind a little bit of smoke with all these fires happening.
I know, it's just really sad, but that's British Columbia in the heat. When you got those scorching temperatures of 30, 35 with no rain, of course, that's going to happen. It's a natural disaster, unfortunately, but it still is very beautiful here.
Yep, and talk about climate change, because it wasn't that long ago, like maybe a month and a half, when we were having rainstorms and flooding, and both lakes, the Okanagan Lake and Cattle Lake, elevated in height to record elevation. It's just amazing, and now it's all dissipating, and now it's completely changed to almost like, you know, our typical desert-like conditions that we usually experience here in the midsummer.
Yes, from one extreme to another. Right?
Yeah, it's like going to the gym and pumping iron and really getting that burn. And then you come back, you relax, and you just kind of like let the cortisol come down, get a good sleep, and then repeat.
That's right.
So what's cooking, my dear?
What's cooking is summer crock pot cooking. Ooh, most people do this in the winter time is use their crock pot. However, in the heat of the summer, I don't like to turn on my oven. And it just creates way too much heat in the apartment. We don't have a barbecue. We're not allowed to in this apartment building. So I opt to use my crock pot. The crock pot or a slow cooker, it's a super fantastic way to prepare a simple meal into a delicious and flavorful fare. The beauty of the crock pot method is convenience. You leave home for the entire day and then you return to find your dinner ready. Basically, what it does is it really tenderizes a tough slab of meat, fibrous, rooty vegetables. It can just make everything so nice and smooth, as long as you don't overcook it, because then the consistency could be a little bit too mushy. But I think I've got it down pat, because what I did last night or yesterday morning, we had some frozen lamb shanks. And I thought, oh my goodness, I know you like them cooked like a chicken wing. And I said, I'm not turning on that oven for 2 hours. So I'm putting it in the crock pot, much to your dismay. You did not want me to do that. But I did. If they were frozen, and in about 5 hours later, you know, well, I added a few spices and a little bit of water, cranked the heat up and left it on. And voila, it was absolutely, the meat fell off the bone. And from now on, I'm making my lamb shanks frozen like that. They were pretty good, don't you think, Corey?
No complaints. And of course, I have to acknowledge the fact that a low temperature for a long period of time, bathed in a solution, like I assume that you put water in it or, and with other herbs, is probably the best way to cook anything in terms of minimizing the denaturing of the protein and preserving the nutrients.
Well, lamb is not a tough meat, but tough meats especially benefit from slow cooking. The slow cooking breaks down the collagen and converts it into a gelatinous broth. Meat fibers separate and shrink during the slow cooking. The natural juices will help moisten the meat into a mouth-watering meal. And that's exactly what it was. I just wish we had more. We needed more lamb shanks. If you're into lamb shanks, that is. So get with the crock pot. It's great for a multitude of different meats, fish, chicken, vegetables. The list goes on. Just, you know, get creative. Add your own spices that you like. Or you can even add coconut milk as the juice. It just is delicious. So you don't have to heat anything up. You just put it in and away you go. And it's ready when you get in the house. And when you walk in the door, you've got this beautiful aroma of dinner cooking. And that's it. That's what's cooking in the summer in July 2017.
Right. I've seen you throw a whole chicken in there. Of course, the roasts. What else can you cook with a crock pot? What else have you tried?
Oh my goodness, you can put a lamb roast in. If you're into pork chops, you can put a pork roast in. You could put fish in. I mean, you can make all kinds of root vegetable dishes. You can do pasta dishes in there. You can do stuffed peppers, meatballs, anything that you can think of, you can put in it. Now, the temperature goes, like on mine, it goes low or high. What I usually do is I put it on high first and then turn it to low. If you're making a roast or any kind of meat dish, but you're using vegetables, like root vegetables, I would put the vegetables on the bottom and then put the roast on top. That's the way they say to do it. That's what I've done, and I've had a lot of luck with that. So, you know, some people don't like the crock pot because they never know what the consistency of the meat's going to be like. But just don't overcook it, that's all. Like I said, if you're at home getting ready to go to work, turn it on high for an hour and then turn it on low, and then you can leave it on for 6 or 8 hours on low temperature, and it comes out beautiful.
Yeah, I just Googled this. I was interested in the origin of the crock pot and who invented it, and it looks like it's got a very interesting origin. It looks like it goes back to the roots of Jewish cooking, where a person who, his name is Irvin Naxon, applied for a patent in 1936. So this was used for slow cooking and was created as a result of the inspiration of traditional cooking. So anyway, I'm sure there's like, who knows how many millions of these things are out on the planet since that time, right? Imagine having that patent and creating something like that of benefit. So anyway, just a little tidbit of information. I'm always curious about how these things start from the beginning.
But you know, I know a lot of people that have a crock pot and they never use it. They never use their crock pot. I don't know if it's because they don't know how to use the crock pot, or they tried it once and they didn't like what happened to the food. It's like anything. You've got to experiment. And then you get better and better and better at it. But I just said, I'm not turning the oven on, Corey. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to slow cook the lamb shank. And then it turned out pretty darn good, didn't it? Do I get a yay for that, Corey?
Yeah.
So there you go.
And all the people said, yeah. Now, the crock pot also is a brand name. So it's actually a slow cooker.
Yes.
So like Kleenex is actually tissue paper or whatever, right? Same idea. But, you know, that reminds me of gym memberships. How many people actually use them who have them, right? Same idea, just like our juicer, right? All these wonderful appliances that can really make an impact on health. And people just sort of give up because, well, I don't know, it'd be interesting to do an interview with 1,000 people to come up with some insight as to why people buy these things and never use them. So there you go.
There you have it. Get the slow cooker out, folks, during the summer. You'll be surprised how wonderful it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't dry the meat out like a barbecue would dry up. There's some controversy about barbecues as well, but you know, I like the barbecue.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
The thing is, though, you retain so much more in it. Like when you barbecue, you lose a lot of moisture.
Yes.
It alters the chemistry inside the substance that you're cooking. And of course, by just personal choice, I like the crunchy bone kind of feel. You know, like I like the idea of roasting a wild rabbit over a fire pit like Conan and Subutai in the movie Conan the Barbarian. You know, like the original way that humanity used to cook things, I suppose, was over a fire pit. And then we've developed these different techniques and technologies that has helped us to sort of employ the same idea, but in a more modern way. But anyway, yeah, crock-pocking, man. Get your pot cooking and enjoy the outcome. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest interview was Dr. Michael Colgan. Michael Colgan is an internationally renowned research scientist, acknowledged as one of the world's most popular scientific experts in nutrition, exercise, inhibition of aging. From 1979 to 1998, Dr. Colgan was the director and president of the Colgan Institute. He now serves as chairman of the board. To get more about Dr. Michael Colgan's long bio, please check our website. Oh my goodness, Dr. Colgan is loaded with information that totally blows me away. I just really love to hear him speak. And he says it in a layman's language, more or less that I can understand. And he's just full of knowledge. And one of the things that's interesting, he was talking about personal trainers get their clients in and people want to change overnight. But it takes 28 weeks to change muscle cells in the body. So it takes time. And if you want to change your physique or for a healthy lifestyle, make a five-year plan. Yes, you have to look long-term. It's almost like going to the bank and making an investment and buying some type of bond or something. You have to look long-term. Well, you have to make an investment into your health. So look at long-term, a five-year plan, which we knew and which we understand. But, you know, to vocalize it again and again makes a heck of a lot of sense because a lot of people don't think that way. They think day-to-day basis. And I've had clients that go, well, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. And I've been working out for a week now. I don't see anything. Excuse me? Right?
Well, long-term planning is the cornerstone of preventive medicine. That's what it's based on. It's based on the knowledge that you can predict an outcome that is inevitable if you do or do not do something. Right? So we have enough information. There's no lack of that. You can't say, I didn't know, or I can't get the insight that I need. Yes, you can. There's just a ton of science, a ton of evidence to show that if you do what needs to be done to be well, you will be well and you will not be sick. That's as far as I'm going to take that one.
Right. Well, you know, basically, I mean, there was so much that he said. I mean, it was an absolutely must listen to interview. But from what I got from what he was talking about is that really it takes time. And he's talked about we destroy our bodies by eating too much. Well, we know that. And a lot of people have a lot of cravings. So how do you get rid of a craving? Is you change your cells. And anyone can change their body by changing their structure. It takes 1 year, he says, one solid year to change the cell structure so that you don't have cravings anymore, which is interesting. And then he spoke to people who, you know, they go on and off their diet, on and off their diet. He talked about this one wealthy couple. They do everything he tells them to do for about 3 weeks. Then they take off and go on this luxury vacation and blow it all, then come back again. And he says that they have to make a 25-year plan for their life because do they want to see their grandchildren graduate? So you have to take a look. I guess it's an emotional thing as well. You know, you have to ask yourself, like, what do I want? What do I want in my life? And what do I have to do to get it? It's like reaching a goal in a career. What do I need? What steps do I need to take to get to the top of my career? But it's the same thing for your health. Why don't people think of it like that? I know you and I do, and a lot of our students do, but just out there, they just don't realize that health is work, right, Corey? Oh boy, did I open up a can of worms, folks?
Well, we're off the wall. We're mavericks. We're renegades. And I like that. I like being a nomad who thinks individually for him or herself and weighs the consequences of all the choices. Again, this is the power of the human mind. Outside of just fixed action responses or instincts, we can actually contemplate through introspection. We can see the possibility of something that has yet to be created. Like we could see the building in our mind. It hasn't been built yet, so then we have to develop the plan for it. But I like this idea about the cells. Can imagine if you've got a couple billion cells that have been corrupted and damaged by junk and garbage, and they're inside of you. So let's say that, for the sake of argument, that they're the ones that are causing the craving. So this idea about shedding that part of you and creating new cells. So what you do is you're kind of stuck with this corruption inside of you, but you're not stuck with it forever. So what you do is you change your life by changing the conditions that you bathe your cells in. And then you get new cells because the old ones die and they're replaced by new good ones. And so these new good ones, they don't crave nothing. They just want to be well. So maybe that's a simple analogy that we could use to teach people who don't get why they crave stuff. Maybe it's just this thing, this monster inside of them that they've created, they have to destroy, get rid of. And the body will do that on its own because it's designed to do that. But you have to make those changes in a positive, sense.
Okay. Then you talked about discipline. Now, where does the change come from? First, it starts in your head, right? Thoughts are things. So I have to want to make a change. I have to understand what I need to do first, and then I have to want to do it, and then you have to take action. But that action takes discipline. So I'm onto the discipline thing. Being a dancer, I understand about discipline. Dr. Colgan didn't say that it was discipline, but we talked about Kenneth Cooper. Kenneth Cooper says it's all about discipline. Well, I agree with Kenneth Cooper. I believe it is about discipline. You've got to discipline your mind, and then you can actually take action to do it. Because it's easy to get swayed off track. So that's my two cents. And for the $20 million question that you asked, where does fat go when we lose it? Oh, my goodness. We breathe it out. Where does that mass go? It's out through your breath. That was so flippin' cool, people. So cool.
And so simple.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but hard to implement for many people because for whatever reason, they don't get it. They don't want to get it. They reject it. They oppose it. Or their framework of their thinking in their mind is basically a function of the world around them instead of their own individuality and their curiosity, like a child. Like, you know, our grandkids, they're very curious and are always asking us, Grandpa, Granny, why is this? Why is this? You know, like people stop asking those questions and start buying into the bullshit. And then their mind is lost in the forest and they can't see it through the trees. So the key, I think, is to decide for yourself, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your life, what you need to do and why, and then reject everything that doesn't fit in to a pattern that is reinforced by logic, rationality, and reason.
And that goes with people too. You know, you got to get rid of the people that aren't for you. Increasing the depth of breath is very beneficial. So deep breathing. And this is what you do on your fitness assessments for the CSNA program for the final dissertation, the VO2 max, which no other school does. So breathing, it's all about that breath. So thank you, Dr. Michael Colgan. It is always a pleasure to have you as our special guest interview. Thank you.
Right on. Right on. So what's your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic is, are you getting enough water, that is? Getting enough water and drinking enough water, my goodness. Are you staying well hydrated? It's so important year-round, but especially in the hot summer months. People are walking around super dehydrated state, and all it takes is a big drink of water to cure the remedy. The summertime, the barbecue, outdoor parties, potlucks, dances, camping, road trips, all dehydrate the body. And I've seen a lot of people eating bags and bags of chips and drinking beer and wine and never stopping to have a glass of water. But all they talk about is about a hangover, and they talk about how they haven't had a bowel movement. And I see their skin literally drying up before my eyes. I see it. It's really clear. And I'm thinking, go take a drink of water. And it's not always just an alcohol hangover. It's a food hangover as well, because the food that they're eating is dehydrating. So, you know, I suggest that you double up on the water and always take water wherever you go, just like you do your gym membership. But make sure that you drink it. Watermelons, grapefruits, oranges, apples, berries are all a really good source of water. So, you know, what we do is upon rising, when you first wake up, you don't feel like it, but take a big drink of water. And you'll be surprised at how well you feel. Now, some people put lemon or lime in their water. By all means, whatever it takes, put lemon or lime in your water. But take a nice big drink of filtered water, you know, as you get up in the morning, then carry on with your business and try to make sure that you get at least 2 liters of water in your day. And, you know, you think you're hungry, but you're probably thirsty. And before you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. It's so bloody simple. And the one thing that I become one with the toilet, who cares if you got to go pee? Just bloody well go, you know, and if everybody around you is also drinking a lot of water, they're going to go too. So, you know, just do what you need to do. Don't hold it in. Go to the bathroom. There are other schools of thought that you don't go, you hold it in. It strengthens the bladder. I call bullshit on that. You go, pee if you have to go, or a bowel movement if you have to go. Stop what you're doing and go. I know a lot of people that held it in and held it in, and by the time they reached 70, 60 years old, they could not go anymore, and they lost the use of peristalsis, which is that urge to go have a bowel movement, and they ruin their bladders by not going to urinate. So don't do that. Think ahead. It's called excretion. It's start getting rid of. Then the way to do that is by having fluids and fruit in your diet, which will help get rid of everything that you need to get rid of. Always have a water station handy, whether it's cold water, room temperature available, with a glass beside it. Make it accessible. Have it right there in front of your face. Right, Corey?
Yep. So don't become one with the waste in your body.
Yeah.
That is a kind of a horrid thought, right? Because if you retain it, you become it. And that's the cesspool that people carry around with them. The other thing, too, is the math. Okay, don't rely on thirst, because it's a very unreliable gauge or barometer to reach the ideal optimum quantity. Of course, there's high water volume plants and animal products that are undercooked or consumed. Like when you eat sashimi, there's a lot of water in there versus dry tuna in a can. But here's the formula. Very simple. We teach it in the course. I'm going to use my example. I'm going to do it right now just to show you how quick and easy this is. And you can do it for anybody just very quickly, whether it's a child, a senior, an athlete. Okay. Yesterday, I stood on the scale at the gym and I was 216 pounds. Okay. Now we convert that to kilos. So 216 divided by 2.2 is 98 kilos. Hey, it's metric Canada, people. Even if you're older like us, okay, we were raised on imperial, but it's metric, and that's the way of the world and the future and the universe. Okay, so now we have to delete the fat mass because we want lean mass. The formula is based on lean functional mass. That's where the water action is, not the fat. Okay, so let's just assume I'm around 10% body fat. I might be 12, might be 11, but let's just go with the 10 to make it easy. So we're going to multiply 98 by 90%, which is what is left after 10% of the body fat, and that equals 88 kilos. So now we're down to a functional lean mass, 88 kilos. The formula is 30 milliliters, or 1 ounce, per kilo of lean mass. So 88 times 30 is 2640. That's 2,640 milliliters. And of course, a liter is 1,000 milliliters. So we've got 2.6 liters. That's how much water I need to consume per day from all sources.
Excuse me. You said what? That was easy. Are you kidding me? That's simple, man.
That's simple math, man.
Jesus, Murphy. You go on and on and on. Are you kidding? You lost me at, you were 216 pounds. You lost weight, honey.
Hey,
God, you're drinking.
Well, I'm normally about 220, but you know, this is the thing I bring to mind in the course material, that athletics, like throwing the hammer, training for the hammer, doing the sprint training, the throwing, it takes a lot out of you. And believe me, when you're an athlete playing in your sport, you're not building muscle up when you're playing your sport. That only happens in the gym. What you're doing is you're breaking everything down. It's highly catabolic. So this is why I go to the gym
right? The gym, yes. Anyway, 2 liters of water a day. Keep it simple, folks. You're technically speaking, I'm simply put. That was really a tough one while you're dividing and da 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 da. 2 liters of water a day, that pretty much is it. If you're going to do anything extra and you're really sweating profusely, take another liter of water. Drink, 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 pee, pee, pee. But if you're sweating, you're not going to be going to pee that much. So coconut water is fantastic. It totally hydrates because it's got high potassium, wonderful for electrolytes. Salt-free club soda works really well with ice and lots of lime in it. It's very refreshing. Watermelon, just delicious. So just get into really hydrating, then have your fun, but make sure you stay well hydrated, because you know what? If I can see it in your skin on the outside, what's going on the inside? So that's my hot topic.
Yeah. Well, at least someone around here is going to the gym.
Hey, I'm going to Pilates, my Cadillac Pilates twice a week, and I go to the gym. Hey, that's what I do.
I know you do. But I'm still going to try and give you a hard time any opportunity I get, because I got to have something going for me. Okay, so what's your final word?
My final word is by a known person. Time camping isn't spent. It's invested.